Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries, and it's John Swanson Day in the studio. As we promised, he'd be returning each month this year to share with us how to prepare and endure the end times as followers of Jesus Christ. And his teachings are thought-provoking and challenging, and a call to attention as to what the Word of God says to us about the final days. John is the Executive Director of Endurance Ministries, and he's dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them. But he has also devoted his life to helping people understand and be prepared for the end times as written in the Word of God. And if you want to catch up on some of his past visits with us, you can go to our website at heartofthesaviorministries.org and click on the broadcast tab and select any of the programs we've done in this series. But let's open with the Word of God. And as I was preparing for today, I realized I've just gone through an amazing time of joy, even though I've been facing a ton of problems. Now, that might sound a little strange, and I have to admit that I've been a bit astonished as to the joy that I've had in my heart. But here's why. I have had to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Point blank, that's it. And the Lord has brought many passages to mind about joys in the trials. And here are just a few. Nehemiah encouraged the workers as they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And of course, one of my all-time favorites in time of trial and decision-making is Psalm 16:11. "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." And finally, can't get away from Isaiah chapter 55, where we are told that all who are thirsty and in need, come, drink, and eat. And this chapter closes with the following, which I think will take us right into John's message for us today. Verse 12 says, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." So welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
I hope you don't mind me sharing about joy this morning, but we as believers in Jesus Christ have every right to hope and rejoice in the fact that we are co-heirs in God's kingdom. And I have, and I'm finding that with my mindset on eternal things instead of worldly things, I can have joy even in the midst of these earthly trials. And, you know, my heart yearns for my heavenly home. So whereas I used to be scared or anxious about end times, I no longer am. For as a believer in Jesus Christ, he's won the victory, and we can rejoice in him.
Amen. There's so much abundance in Christ, much to rejoice about. And Christians have other reasons to rejoice, even in difficult times. For example, 1 Thessalonians includes two paragraphs which address end time events. Well, Leslie, could I have you read two paragraphs for us from chapters 4 and 5?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, in God's promises to those who are his, not unbelievers, but those who are genuinely his, we find comfort in these things mentioned in this portion of the Word of God. We are graced with reasons to rejoice even in challenging times. So here's what the two paragraphs say. Leslie?
Okay, so it's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, which right. is titled, "The Comfort of Christ's Coming." I like that. Okay. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself," I love this, "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Mm-hmm. Kind of takes my breath away, John.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Okay, but it continues on in chapter 5, so that the next part is verses 1 through 11,
yes,
right?
Please.
This one's titled, "The Day of the Lord." Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so this day should overtake you as a thief. I should say that. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so this day should overtake you as a thief. Get the right sound there. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing.
Mm-hmm. In both paragraphs, the issue of comforting one another as a result of these things is appealed to. You know, well, some might ask, where is the reason for rejoicing in the day of the Lord period, as highlighted in this 1 Thessalonians 5 passage? Isn't this a pretty bleak picture? But actually, it's not bleak for true Christians. It's actually comforting.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the proverbial question of why?
Why? Well, because we have a Savior, a Master, who is faithful to His Word. If we trust His many promises to us, even as we live out our lives in times of general judgment and in horribly evil settings, even in these settings, even in dark culture, we find grounds for rejoicing.
Okay. Darkness. How so?
Okay, well, God is faithful to His Word, right?
Correct. Yes. All the time. He is good.
Well, God states many things will take place before His Son's return, and many of those things are unfolding before our very eyes today. This is yet another huge demonstration that our God is worthy of His people's praise and trust.
So my question keeps seeming to be, how so? How does this relate to a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, having a joyful perspective in Christ?
In the context of the day of the Lord. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, God penned these future things thousands of years ago, and miracles of miracles. The early signs are taking place in awesome ways, just as He predicted. God is true to His Word. And this is where we, His people in Jesus Christ, we need to continue to trust Him in the things He says will be unfolding shortly. So it's the big picture that is bright and filled with hope, thus bringing comfort and joy, even though we may go through some difficulty. John 16, it's interesting how the Word of God is so appropriate and applicable for us. John 16, we find Jesus saying, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues, and yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes you may remember that I told you of them." And in the concluding verse of this same chapter, chapter 16 of John, the Gospel of John, we find this: "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world."
Hallelujah. Amen. Woohoo.
Amen. Isn't that precious?
It is. It is very precious, and something that I really need to hear right now.
Yeah. God is so good to us. Leslie, I guess I say that I kind of don't understand the short-sightedness of us, our short-sightedness at times. We have all the reason in the world, and then some, to take Him at His word. And yet many so-called believers are failing to continue in walk with Him. They are not those who endure to the end. They're not overcomers, as God in Revelation 2 and 3 calls His people to be.
Yes, John. Many are doing just what God predicted would take place before His Son's return, and they are falling away from the faith. And I think that the core issue is the is that it's most disturbing to me at the moment when I see or hear of believers who are compromising their beliefs, their faith, in order to fit into the world. And I know that we are called to be in this world and not of this world. And I know it's a very hard line to walk, but it's crucial to our eternal place with the King, correct?
It is. But unfortunate as it is, though, some Christians by name are indeed falling away. And yet, in this setting, this is yet another demonstration of the accuracy of Bible prophecy, we can trust God. So why would people abandon Christ when we have all the reason in the world to stay true? And not just in the world, but in God. So, Leslie, can I do a stepping on our toes question at this juncture?
I don't know, John. You don't want to offend the believing community, do you? Well, I guess if you ask a question in knowing you, in a speaking the truth in love manner, then yes, I give you permission to walk out on thin ice, but be very careful.
Okay, well, thank you, and I will honor that. Well, here's the tough love but honorable question.
And I love tough love questions, so go for it.
Okay, and I'm directing this to Christians by name. Why would you even consider leaving the faith at this juncture, especially in light of what God says is your lot if you fail to separate from the King's table, as we find illustrated in Daniel 1? God's prophetic word is once again demonstrating itself to be so reliable, and yet you're contemplating the act of apostasy? How can this be? Of all the times in human history, this is the generation called to be those who endure to the end and so be saved. This is not a day to compromise.
No, it's not.
I want to encourage the listening audience to read our devotional stories, which we post on our enduranceministries.org website. Using end-time Bible truths, these short stories simply challenge those who are considering consequential disobedience. We're challenging them to reconsider and do just the opposite, to obey the Lord and to endure to the end. So why would one be so foolish and walk away from God's loving counsel and fall prey to the father of lies? Is anyone going to allow short-term persecution to adversely affect one's eternal state? It would be foolish to do so, yet that's what Scripture predicts will happen. Well, we bring this warning, a warning against apostasy, because of multiple reasons. Number one, we genuinely care for your eternal existence. Number two, God's word will unfold just as he has outlined. Apostasy will happen. Five of the waiting for the bridegroom virgins will not be allowed in the banquet. Number three, those who are not faithful to the end will be surprised when the Lord of glory tells them, "Depart from me." And number four, Satan uses false hope all the time to mislead.
I don't know about you, but I would be absolutely terrified if the Lord would say to me, "Depart from me." You know, I don't even want to go there. You know, can't even go there. And we are seeing all kinds of deceptive things going on. You know, it isn't just the rumors of war and the pending earthquakes business on our lovely West Coast. It's the deep stuff. You know, it's the grieving of the Holy Spirit by denying the works of Christ. It's the you know, the well-known pastor who is claiming that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. You know, it's those who've been deceived into thinking that by their works they are saved, or that as long as they live by the Ten Commandments, I'm saved. And no, the word is clear. John 14, 6 says, you know, Jesus is talking to Thomas and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's got nothing to do with works. You know, we've received our salvation by grace. You know, Titus 2, verses 11 through 15 comes to mind, John. Can I read that passage to make my point?
Well, given the truth foundation base of this ministry, I think you're wise in doing so.
Okay, so it's Titus 3, verses 11 through 15. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you."
Yes, and a part of that passage is the aspect of not emphasizing our works of righteousness. understanding by his mercy he saved us. But I love Titus 2 and 3 because it brings balance to this issue of faith and works. So it affirms a works life that Jesus Christ does in the lives of the believers, but it also says it's not by works of righteousness in our flesh. So we've got to be born again. So that's huge. But Leslie, let me do a thinking outside of the worldly box for just a minute on this very topic of how deceit is getting more difficult even to discern these days. Can I cite a current example in culture of dark conditioning that as we speak is taking place through a popular sci-fi film, which people are paying for, one which is presently running in theaters all around the world? Can I do that? It's kind of a...
Well, you know me. Let's make this real down to earth so our listeners can, you know, see just how deceptive things are getting. And so I have to ask, is this movie critique what you mean about thinking outside the box? Because, you know, I color outside the box, so it's okay to go outside the box.
Yes, it's actually, that's our emphasis of thinking outside the box. And the reality is that it's taking place today.
Well, you know, I can sense that we're going to ruffle some feathers here maybe this morning, but I think it's a good check on our hearts. But if you can do so, and it won't mean losing credibility due to left-field thinking and speculating on your part, go for it.
Okay. Well, recall that a part of deception often includes this fruit. Those deceived don't even know it. In today's society, people are accepting crazy things and calling them normal. They label foolish those of us who warn against the pressing realities of our culture. It's kind of the Isaiah 5:20 backwards thinking, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, etc. Here's a portion of a blog we posted recently, one which speaks to this very concern, and I'll read a portion of the blog, blog 26 on our currentmatters.org site. Strange things are happening. Does that sound like a familiar tune?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, story to whatever. Another quote, have you discerned how terribly weird the world has become of late? Another quote, there's something terribly wrong with culture today. Another observation, how can so many great injustices be taking place in our so-called thinking society? Strange. Another way to put it, why has our culture grown to be so intolerant, yes, even so satanic, in a day when it claims to be tolerant? Strange things.
So good point, John, and I'm not sure if people are even realizing they're indeed accepting these off-the-wall things. So is this observation in this blog you've just read for us the thing to which you're referring when you're saying thinking outside the box?
Well, that's an important point, but actually the thinking outside of the box is tied to the movie.
Okay.
So no, actually we're appealing for the exercise of some expression of common sense thinking as to our cultural movements today. So my thinking outside the box, yes, refers to the movie presently running at the theaters.
Okay, so go ahead and discern this film from a biblical worldview perspective in light of Bible prophecy that's pertinent for today.
Okay. Well, do you recall the first Independence Day film, the one which ran in the theaters in 1996?
Oh, boy, do I. It was very well done, well received, you know, by way of moviegoer support. And it was, I think, one of the top, or if not the top movie viewed?
Yeah, at the time, I believe so. But the one in the theaters presently airing, Independence Day Resurgence, is also getting a good response. But how many people discern the end time message in both films? Both films, mind you.
What message are you referring to, John?
Well, it's expressed on one of our blogs, again, on currentmatters.org, and I'd like to read a portion of that blog.
Okay.
So in answer to your question, we at Endurance Ministries, and you share this, we're concerned about some things. The issue is that the scenes in both films bring the alien threat to the world's independence on clouds. These spaceships come in clouds with clouds. Well, it's interesting to note that Jesus Christ, the Word of God describes Jesus Christ's return as taking place on and with the clouds in Matthew 24:30, Revelation 1:7. So we're just saying, is it possible that these fun sci-fi military fictional pieces are actually conditioners to get people to prepare for battle against God Most High? This is concerning to us because there's some There's some messages being communicated. We believe some conditioning that's taking place in these movies that are dangerous today.
Pretty interesting observation, you know, as to discerning present media appeals in our culture.
Yeah, it's important indeed. But by the grace of God, dear saint, it's important that I highlight that he is the one who is giving his people and granting discernment. And the means to discern these things are heightened as one spends time in the Word of God, especially reading the many passages which deal with end-time things.
Well, your seminar presentation was Greater Portland Metro Area just a few weeks ago, placed a strong emphasis on these end-time passages. Could you list here on the broadcast some of the main messages people should go away with in order to grow?
Yes, I'll be glad to do so. So Matthew 24, 25, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, you read those paragraphs. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3 and 4, and others.
Don't forget the books of Daniel and Revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
And yet, given the apocalyptic genre of Daniel 7 through 12 and Revelation 6 through 19, it's important one reads these passages just listed in light of the more black and white instruction of our Lord Jesus. So go to Matthew 24 and 25, read the Mark 13, Luke, and see these other passages which we've just listed. They bring helpful clarification.
You know, I can't believe our time runs so fast, John, when we're together. Can you bring a short life action principle or two in light of what's been we've been saying for the past few minutes?
For the purpose of personal edification, protection, yes. Number one, God is faithful to his word, to what he has said will take place in the days of the end. Some of the things have already taken place, and the other things are sure to happen in his time. Number two, we must be those who are believers in truth. We must be in his word like never before. Number three, we should listen faithfully to Heart of the Savior Ministries radio broadcasts.
John, you didn't need to say that. I didn't pay you either.
No, I know that, Leslie. But your program does, by the grace of God, bring important balance to the big picture of following Jesus Christ, our Savior. So I do include your ministry, sincerely so, as another means genuine followers of Jesus Christ have to further foster their important walk of endurance with Christ today. So can I close in prayer?
I would be honored if you would do so.
Okay. Father God, we bless your holy name. Thank you for your insightful counsel to us. Help us to be wise enough to say yes and read it. In Jesus Christ's glorious name we pray. Amen.
Oh, amen. You know, John, I love it when I have someone who can speak into me and bring to light those things that we don't see. And I'm speaking of this Independence Day resurgence and how people don't see that connection of the clouds, you know, and getting us to get our eyes off of Christ and be, I can't even think of the right word, that we become numb to what.
Yeah,
you know, just, Okay, but before we close today, I want to remind you that we are now on Saturday mornings at 10:30, and that's right here at on this dial, and it's through your financial support that we're able to stay on the air sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing you top-notch guests and responding to your questions and addressing topics that impact your lives. And won't you consider helping us stay on this ministry on this air?
Because you've added another day of presentation.
Yes, we are. We are looking at moving to the FM side, God willing. So, you know, we need support or corporate sponsors. Would be lovely that you could air your ads prior to the program. You can send us your financial support to Heart of the Savior Ministries, P.O. Box 729, Fairview, Oregon 97024. And yes, we are a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. Well, you know what, John? That's it for today. But we hope everyone goes away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who they are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you truly will make God's Word a part of your every breath that you take this week, and that you'll take up your lantern, fill it with the oil of joy, for the Lord is coming, and we want you to be prepared to enter into the bridal feast that we talked about.
Amen.
Right? We don't want to not be prepared. We want to endure and be prepared.
Be ready.
So, John, thanks for joining us here once again, and we'll see you back here in August. So, as always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries. Have a great day.